We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Now, I want to jump back to sort of current events here as we go into the last half hour of this conversation, because, you know, what I find interesting, it seems with all this, well, it seems like a very tumultuous world right now. It feels like there are these battles going on between, you know, agencies or power centers that are sort of bubbling up in the surface, and that's what we're seeing, you know, on the news and stuff. When, you know, it's like Trump versus the intelligence agencies, and something's going on there, you know. So, I mean, I guess, can you enlighten me to that, what you see going on there? Like, what do you think is at the root of this?
Hmm.
Is it the globalists trying to stop this uprising of anti-globalism? I mean, that's what it seems to be to me, but I mean, maybe there's more to it.
Yeah, they have a game plan, and they're trying to work that game plan, and it does not include humans standing up for themselves. So they're always trying to keep us off balance, afraid, you know, and, oh, they're going to get you. That's why we keep getting that narrative pushed at us. And I think the big danger is that we... the military, particularly, and the intelligence agencies now have the technological capability of creating some of this stuff. I don't know, you may not remember this, but I wrote about this in one of my books about, I think it was 2009, where Celine Dion sang a duet with Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah, the hologram, right?
The hologram, yeah. And it was so real that the people in the auditorium felt like they were actually watching Elvis and the singer perform. And what kills me is that they took videotape of it. I think you can still find this on the internet. And you can take a picture of it, and it looks like they're real. Now, if we've got that kind of capability right now, today, just think what they could make happen, you know, make things appear in the sky, make giant Jesuses or giant Muhammads come to life, and, you know, and so I think we have to be on guard for, so that we don't get tooled around on some kind of technological advancement, because they're ahead of where we are.
Oh, that's for sure. I don't know if anyone would even believe it if a Jesus was in the sky. As crazy as that sounds. If someone just joined us just now, they're probably like, "What is going on?"
Yeah.
But I don't. I mean, I think that people have, you know, a percentage of the people are half expected through conspiracy theories, and a large percentage of the population is just so fucking cynical that they'd say it was a stunt or a marketing thing or a hoax or you know, or God knows what, you know. They wouldn't trust
right.
it. They wouldn't believe it.
Right. But that would be the hope.
Yeah.
But now if you and an entire city of people look up and see a huge ship hanging above you that says, "We come in peace," and line up, "We give you free food." hey, how many people are going to line up? A bunch.
A good amount, yeah. Now I'm tempted to line up because the food sounds interesting. What is alien food? Is it good? I don't know. I'm going to have to try it.
Well, so. don't remember the old, I think it was Outer Limits or whatever.
Oh, Twilight Zone, yeah. How to
Cook Twilight Man. Zone, where they found the book To Serve Man.
Yeah, exactly.
and everybody's going, "Oh, good, they're going to take care of us." And they said, "No, it's a cookbook."
So I it seems like the consensus is that this Trump thing is going to come to an end sooner than later.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, we're all going to figure. It won't be too much longer before we figure out whether, you know, there are still, I'm sure, diehard Trump fans who are thinking that, well, you know, just give him a little more rope and he'll he'll rein things in, and he's trying to get along to go along, and you know, but once everybody figures out that no, he's just another New World Order tool job, then we're right back where we started from.
Well, there seems to be some concern that he's going to see his that the only time people liked him was when he bombed Syria, and that he's going to like orchestrate a war or a false flag situation. But that's more conspiracy talk. But I mean, what do you?
Right.
It's worrisome, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the thing is, why are we bombing anyway? Who are we bombing, and why? You know, they say, well, we don't like Assad. Well, what's Assad ever done to us? Nothing. Okay? He may be a 10-horn, 2-bit dictator, but he's their 2-bit, 10-horn dictator.
Yeah.
And if they don't like him, let them get rid of him, you know? And, of course, the thing is, it looked like we were about ready to topple him over by creating ISIS, which then turns out to be our worst enemy, and we created them, and we funded them, and we're still doing that. And then just when it looked like that we were going to get rid of Assad, which was their game plan, Russia steps in, and Putin says, oh, you guys want to fight ISIS? Well, here, let us help you. And they came in there with the Russian air power, and in 2-3 weeks, they did more damage to ISIS than we'd been doing over the past 2 years. And the whole idea is to get the poppy fields going again.
Yeah.
And get the gas pipeline through there. It's always a money deal. There's never, this isn't about freedom and democracy.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, anytime they turn over, they cause a regime change, it turns into a nightmare. I think
right.
They should stop doing that.
we don't like this guy in charge, so we get rid of him. And the next thing you know, that particular country is just falling into third world shabbiness, and nothing's right. You know.
Yeah, I mean, look at Iraq. It seems like it's crazy over there. You know. So, I don't know what. I don't know, but well, I guess how about this? This is also concerning me. Maybe you can calm me down. All this Russia stuff. I mean, they seem like they're gearing us up for World War III, man. I mean, I think that everybody seems to be feeling like very tense, more tense about this than I can ever recall.
That's because we're being told to be tense about this.
Okay.
You know, because the people that control the mass media now have suddenly decided Russia's the big enemy. And it's just like you didn't like the way the election goes, Russia was behind it.
Mm.
You know, come on. It's just propaganda. It's just a real load that they're dumping on us. Now, here's the thing. Let's look at Russia. Russia, like any politician, you cannot trust anything they say.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say anything, right? And just like any, you know, you can tell a politician's lying to you if his mouth's moving.
There you okay? go, yeah.
All right, so let's watch and look at Russia. Russia, when communism collapsed at the end of the 80s, they said, okay, it's all over with. We will withdraw our military from Eastern Europe. Keep in mind, the Russian army has, since World War II, had occupied Hungary, Czechoslovakia, the Baltic states, Poland, Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
And did I miss something? Did we have a war and push them out of there? No. They said, we will voluntarily pull our troops out of Eastern Europe and go back to a, you know, copacetic and laissez-faire type situation if you will promise not to expand NATO. And we said, okay, we agreed to that. And yet, now what has actually happened? They voluntarily pulled their troops out of Eastern Europe, no longer occupying that part of the globe. And what have we done? We have included Poland now and trying to push the Ukraine into NATO, putting missiles in there, ringing Russia. So who's the bad guy? Who's the aggressor in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, you make a compelling argument. It's a shitty thing for us to do, that's for sure. You know, I guess the point is someone somewhere wants us to fight them, or at least they want us to...
Now you're getting it. That's right. That's right. That's
or at
like,
least a new Cold War that they can just keep building missiles and not ever use them.
Well, that comes back to the greatest conspiracy in the world and the proof of conspiracy, okay, which is that, you know, I think any thinking person, and Tim, I think you'll agree with me, that we have the technological knowledge and ability today to feed, house, and clothe the human population.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of empty space in Canada and stuff. You could easily fit almost everybody up there.
Okay, except we don't. In fact, even as we're talking here and even as your listeners are listening to the cast, we know that there are literally thousands of children starving to death right now. Now, why is it that way? I don't want it that way. I know you don't want it that way. And I submit to you it's that way because somewhere, somebody wants it that way. And we've got to identify who these people are that want that type of situation and clear them out of the way.
Well, why?
Why? So we can have a peaceful, equitable world.
Exactly. I wonder sometimes where it's all headed, though. That's all, you know. It seems worrisome. That's all.
That's true. Well, it's worrisome.
What is going on? See?
I don't know. You're being attacked by the dog.
I was having a premonition there. Yeah.
I think most people would like a peaceful, compatible world.
I know. I was just giving you grief.
And in fact, you want to know my two-word solution for ending all war?
What's that?
Two words. Stay home.
What do you mean?
I mean, if everybody stays home, there wouldn't be a war.
Oh, stay home from the war, yeah.
Yeah,
just
stay home.
Just like a general strike.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, let's go invade Iran. Nah, I'm going to stay home. It sounds silly, but actually it could work. All you got to do is just say no.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because it seems like I guess it is kind of is the same way, but I mean, back in the day, people toiled on their farms and stuff, and now people just toil at their jobs. It's like they still have this sort of like strange system in place that keeps everybody just working all the time.
Right,
know?
Right.
Like, why?
Well,
we'd be a much better planet if everybody, you know, not well, even if we were all equals, but if the gap, like, there was less of a enormous gap between the giant super rich and the destitute.
Well, what you have to do is we have to figure out that there's really not any jobs for everybody anymore. It used to be, in the whole history of the world, if you didn't work, you didn't eat. You know, and that's why people had big families, so that, you know, if one or two kids died off of whooping cough, you still had four or five left to till the field, you know. And everybody worked, everybody produced. Okay, but today with technology, quite frankly, everybody doesn't need to be working. And yet we're still operating under the old Christian work ethic that if you don't work, if you're not holding down a job, then you're just a bum, you know, and a leech on society. But we've got to get over that, and what we've got to do is get to the point to where we understand that everybody has something they can contribute, okay? Maybe you like digging in the dirt, so you can be a dirt digger. maybe you like to paint, so you can be a painter, you know? And everybody, and if people was doing what they want to be doing, they would quickly gravitate towards the things they can do well and the painter would be making money, the writer would be making money, everybody would be getting along, and the people down on the hind end that weren't doing a whole lot, nevertheless, they still could get paid and still share in the foods being produced by the people who want to do that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it could all happen. We could have a utopian world here if we would just want it, but they don't want it.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. Now, we only got Jim for another 15 minutes, folks, but I still have some time on the clock after that. So if you want to call in, I'll do something I've never done. I'll let you call in, you know, in the last half hour, and I'll chat with you guys. The number is 646-378-1868, and you can find it on the page where you're listening to the show anyway. Now, I want to do justice to this Battlefield Earth because our friend Carmen is the one who helped get this interview put together. So how are you involved with that project?
Oh, I'm just a big supporter.
Just a big,
you know,
fan.
They have a audio book version that is just outstanding. Tim, when I was a young kid, and I hate to date myself, but this is before television.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that we couldn't afford a television. It was that nobody had a television.
They hadn't been invented yet, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it was invented, but nobody had
it. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. It's like that old thing. The rich have the technology first anyway.
Exactly.
Even TV.
So we'd listen to the radio. And we'd listen to radio dramas like The Shadow and Gunsmoke, Tarzan, Amos and Andy, all of these shows. It was great. And they would actually, you know, speak the parts, have sound effects and everything. But it was a mutual type effort because you had to visualize for yourself what was going on. You didn't have TV to just put it right in front of you and say, here it is. Well, they've kind of done this with Battlefield Earth, the audio book, which, by the way, has already garnered some awards, and in fact put up for an Eddie Award because of it's incredible. There are 68 sound characters that read the different parts. You've got 150,000 sound effects. You got a musical score that was written specifically for this audio book, and you just sit there and listen to everything, listen to them carry on the story, and it's quite an amazing experience. I call it a movie of the mind. And so, you know, go to battlefieldearth.com, and I think you can listen to a swath of that, and that should convince you that this is something you probably need to have, because if you're a truck driver or if you're traveling on a long trip or whatever, this would be the perfect companion, because you can keep your eye on the road, but you can keep your mind on the story.
Nice, nice. Sounds good.
It is. And I think they've got it down where it's very, very inexpensive.
Yeah, for sure. People, it seems like, yeah, they've gotten, as the technology improves, people, you know, all the little things, the fun things, they can kind of like improve as well. So that's a
true
good thing.
That's true. So if you like a really good story and one that's really quite up to date, because, in fact, I think the whole premise is built on the idea that our space probe, the Voyager 2, is now out beyond the Kuiper Belt, which means it's out past our solar system, which means we now have a man-made object out in interstellar space. And the plot of the story is that these aliens pick it up, and then they're able to trace where it comes from and follow it back to Earth, and that's why they want to take and mine the mineral resources of the Earth. Which is not so far-fetched, you know. Even Stephen Hawking, you know, and others have warned, maybe we ought to be cautious about who we broadcast our location. in space too, because we might not like who shows up.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, hey, sometimes I wonder that as a podcaster, so.
Yeah, really.
So give me a thumbnail on the new book that's coming out on June 13th. It's The Illuminati, the secret society that hijacked the world. You've alluded to some of the elements in the book, but you know, give me
right.
The elevator pitch. Give me the thing, because people can go right now and pre-order it if they
yes,
want.
Yes, you
so.
Pre-order it right now and probably get a good price on it. This is like I said, kind of a follow-on to Rule by Secrecy, and it what it does is, number one, go back and show the various secret societies and how they know what they knew and what happens when they pool their information and find out who's really running the show. And they laid the groundwork for secret societies that are now vying for control of the world. And to understand what's going on in the world, you need to understand about these societies, how they operate, and what their goals are, and you will find out in the Illuminati.
Nice, nice. Well, it seems, you know, it's a mixed bag, man. We've been talking for like 12 years here, and it's like we're still alive, we're still around.
Yeah.
We're not like slaves to the system. It's like, we're kind of slaves to the system, but we're not like actual slaves.
speak for yourself, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. You got to do those dishes, Jim. I think you got it figured out.
That's right.
So, you know, sometimes you wonder if it's like, are these problems going to be passed down to the next generation? It's like, are we going to miss the worst of it? You sometimes wonder, because it's like things seem to be getting worse, but it's getting worse at such a slow pace that, like, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow and I'll miss the apocalypse.
Yeah, but also the fact is that our consciousness keeps getting raised.
Mm.
And we're becoming more and more aware of all this. You know, you and I, 12 years ago, talking about secret society trying to run the world, the vast majority of people listening would have gone, they're just nuts. And today, it's they're listening because we realize that this stuff is happening. This past so-called election, I think, should have pretty well shown that. I mean, you had your media hires and the tools and the experts, and they're all telling you one thing, and it turns out that's not right at all. So obviously, there's more to reality than what we think we know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let me see if I got anything else on here. No, I kind of planned it pretty well.
Yeah, you did. Just one more message.
What's
buy
that?
My book.
Exactly. Buy all the books, folks.
Buy all of them.
I'm telling you. The new one is The Illuminati, the secret society that hijacked the world, yeah. And that's available June 13th. You can go to Amazon right now and pre-order it, and I can't put over I still think of Alien. It's funny, when I was thinking about it, when we first talked 12 years ago, you had like 4 books. And now I was looking at the list tonight. I'm like, wow, my God, this is a lot of books. Things are heating up, like we said. You know, it's getting it's getting crazier and crazier. But I'm glad to hear that you're on the mend. And sorry to hear that, you know, you might have to cut back on your traveling, because, you know, I know people love to see you, but maybe you could.
That's why God invented Skype.
Exactly. Well, you know what you should do, because you live relatively close to Aurora. You should be like that. You should be like you know, those people that just stay in Vegas and they have to come to you. So it's like, come to Aurora, you know, and meet Jim Mars there. That's what I did, and it was awesome. I can't thank you enough for that, by the way. It really was tremendous. It's quite an interesting place, Aurora. It was.
Give me a little lawn chair and an umbrella and sit out by the highway, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Little sign that says truth, $5.
Exactly. Exactly. You'd be surprised who'd turn up. You'd be surprised. Well, like I said, Jim, I can't thank you enough. And you know, this is the last season of the show. We're gonna come back in some form or fashion in the future. This isn't the last time I'm gonna be talking to you.
Can't keep a good man down.
No, absolutely not. So, but I do want to thank you for being a part of what has been this tremendous collection over the last 12 years. You know, and it's just been an absolute thrill and an honor. And you know, you're part of the fabric of what I've been doing here for over a decade, and I can't thank you enough, and I love you, man. I really do, and I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you, Tim. Good night.
Good night, Jim. There you go, folks. That was Jim Mars on the season premiere of Banal of America Audio Season 10. Let's see if anybody actually called in. I even tweeted it. No, none of you fools called in. My goodness. All right, well, I'll give out the number one more time since we're still live. Where is that number? 646-378-1868. And I guess we'll hang on for like a minute or two to see if anyone calls in. But that was amazing. That was so much fun. We covered so many topics there. That was really tremendous stuff. And really interesting to hear Jim's perspective on things. And really crazy when you think about how much time has passed since we first talked for BOA Audio Season 1. It's absolutely amazing. I remember one of the things I asked him at the end of that first interview was, what do you think is going to happen in 2012? So it's pretty crazy. That's ancient history now, and nothing happened. So, now we got all kinds of callers. Look at that, see? All right, let me put this person on first. Hey, 608 area code. I've put you through.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
This is Jim Lideker.
Hi. Hey, Jim. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not too much. I was just, you know, hanging out, listening to you, and it's kind of weird. I had turned down the volume on the computer because you know, there's a delay between what I'm hearing and the phone.
Right.
That.
No problem. Yeah, that's kind of standard operating procedure. So what are you calling in for? Thank you for calling in, because I asked people to, to call in. So what can I do for you?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of you and Greg Bishop and Nick Redfern and people like that, and I just thought maybe we could talk about the, you know, the ETH and why that's kind of falling out of favor.
I don't know. I think it's I got an answer for you. Like,
well,
I just think that they've exhausted the ETH. Like, you can't wring anything else out of that stone. So you have to look at under other stones, because we can't. You know, you've reached the end of the line with the ETH for all intents and purposes until we get that ET. You know.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm a big fan of John Keel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he back, he used to be a journalist, right? And he would drive around all over the country interviewing UFO witnesses and stuff like that. And by the 50s, if not the, or the 60s, if not by the 50s, he was already smelling a rat. That, you know, seems like there's no there. There's nothing you can really grab onto. There's no physical evidence. There's no. It really doesn't seem like we're physically being visited by aliens. And so, you know, a lot of his writings are all around that now, where he really talked about, well, you know, what could the other explanations be? And I think, you know, he talked about window areas and all this stuff, and not really quite sure what his theory was. He talked about stuff like ultra-terrestrials, but I kind of think that, you know, I do have to wonder if, you know, if there isn't a psychological component. You know, certain areas have...
Yeah, for sure. I think kind of what Jim said, in a sense, it's like all of the above. I think people can conjure UFOs with their minds. You know, whether there's something behind the UFO itself that they conjure is a whole other question, you know. But I think that happens plenty of times.
Well, I would say there's a phenomenon, right? There's a thing an experience that happens. But, you know, it's one thing to say, to describe the experience. It's another thing to make it leap to what the cause is.
Hmm.
I guess that's where I'm coming from. You know, so people experience these things. They may see aliens. They may see lights in the sky. They might see people working on their spacecraft. You've probably seen these stories, right? You know, that I think Keel wrote about them, and I'm sure somebody else wrote about them. That it almost seems like a dead giveaway, that it's like a staged kind of deal. And you got to wonder what's going on. You know, how much of it, you know, is there a psyop going on as part of this? Is some of it just literally happening in people's minds? Are there probably many explanations? You know, it could be more than one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is more than one thing. I think it absolutely is. Let's. I'll keep you on here. Let's, because there's some other guy on hold or person on hold. And
okay.
So and since it's not like 30 people, it's just one person. We'll bring them in too, because it seems kind of lame to leave them hanging. So 262 area code. You're on with Binal and Jim Latica. I shouldn't say you're loud.
Tim Binal.
I don't know how that works.
Hello.
Yes. Who's this?
This is Steven.
Steven.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Tim. I heard that one people
you said
call
that in.
The
way you said that like I knew, like it was a Steven.
Oh,
I should know.
No, I've been a long-time listener. I've been listening to you since season one, and it's kind of funny. I was listening to old Art Bell on YouTube at a job I had, and for some reason one of your episodes popped up, and here I was thinking it was Art.
Oh, man, thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, oh, no, I compliment all yours. And, you know, I started listening. I was like, wow, this guy's really good, and I've been following you ever since, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to call you. Thank you for all the great programming you did and all the guests that you've had on. Thanks to them as well. And I got to tell you, man, we need a reunion of the Good Parade. You got to do it for me, buddy.
There'll definitely be a Good Parade reunion as part of Season 10. It's almost a given. It has to happen.
Okay.
So there will definitely be a Good Parade
reunion. Hopefully
down
a little bit since the election, and, you know, we can get some more laughs in there.
Oh, God, there'll be plenty of laughs. Hey, if you listen to that election episode now, it's hilarious. So I still sometimes put it on for a chuckle just to hear us slowly melting down on live radio.
Well, and I don't want to take away from the paranormal topic at hand here because, you know, you had the incomparable Jim Mars on, as you had put it. But I got to say my favorite episode of The Good Braid is still the Garbage Pail Kids episode. That episode was phenomenal.
Thank you, man. Yeah, that was a classic. We hit a groove there for a while where we were really doing some great shit. We flew too close to the sun. We flew too close to the sun. It turned
you
into a real
stuff like that.
Yeah, man, we just had a great chemistry, and we were both in the sort of right place at the right time, and there was a really cool community that was growing out of that, and then it then things just sort of went crazy. So yeah, it was an interesting time.
I got to say, I'm really glad you're back for another season of Banal of America. I my podcast feed has been empty without you, buddy. So thanks for coming back.
As I said on Facebook, you know, and I know a lot of – it's funny. I feel like I sort of just curtail my audience to Facebook now. Jim, we didn't forget about you, man. We know you're still there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Now I've like put Jim on hold, bounce back and forth to you guys. but I said on Facebook, you know, I know some people are probably listening to the season premiere and they're like, yeah, great, Binal's back, but he's probably going to disappear for like another 2 months. It's like, no way, man. This time we have, we got a pretty tight schedule already planned out here and people already booked and, you know, we'll be back next Tuesday night with another episode. So it's not going to be like it has been over the last year or so. It's going to be like boom, 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 boom. So we're going to have a good time.
Hey, I'm sure you got tons of stuff lined up. I don't know if you're taking suggestions for any guests or anything like that, but a topic I've been really interested in the past year is the airship mysteries.
Yeah, I've been really interested in those too lately, so.
Walter Bosley.
Yeah, Mr.
Walter Bosley,
that's right.
He seems to do a lot of the work on that. Well, that's good because he's been on the show before because I was only planning on really having past guests on, so maybe I'll get Walter on to talk about this airship thing.
That would be great. I mean, I've been doing a little bit of my own research on the side, too, and the more I dig into it, just the more intriguing it becomes. And I think there's more there than just about the airships. I think there's a very broad spectrum of things that can be gone into by looking into that particular mystery. But, hey, I just wanted to say I'm a super fan. You're awesome. Show's awesome. And I'm going to get going here. You have a great night.
All right. Thank you very much. I don't know if that was Jim or Steven. Who's still here?
I'm Jim.
There you go. I should put I couldn't say you guys sound kind of similar. Anyway, so what were we talking about? The ETH. So I think that here's another thing I've been thinking about. I'll mention this on the show more and more, I think, this season, is like the ETH might be like the only thing that you can actually eventually get some tangible proof on or something, where it's like if they find life on another world, then you already have sort of like the evidence, in a sense, for ETH. Does that make any sense?
Well, just because we know that maybe that there's life on some distant planet doesn't necessarily mean that they have the technology to travel here.
Right, right. I guess what I'm saying is like if they find something on another planet, then the you can take this further step where it's like, okay, then the ETH is possible, and we don't necessarily know if any of these other theories are possible, that they're time travelers or from other dimensions or even a creation of the mind, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, if we find, like, artifacts or something on another planet, like, you say we go to Mars and we find some alien relics or something, you know, that might be something different, but...
Yeah. Who knows? It's interesting to think about.
I guess
so what do you...
Well, my feeling is that space travel is a hard problem. I mean, as far as we know, the speed of light is the speed limit. Now, maybe that's not true. We don't have the advanced physics to know that. So maybe somebody has figured it out.
So you think the aliens can't get here? It's like, is that your argument, that you don't think the aliens can get here?
As far as I know, they can't. You know, maybe they know something that we don't. But
I presume they know
like,
a lot more than we do, yeah.
Sure, but I mean, at least our best knowledge of physics is an almost impossible problem. I mean, we're talking about, you know, if we wanted to go to say Alpha Centauri, which is only 4 light years away, give or take, well, a little over 4, but we have to build like generation ships or something, or have some kind of suspended animation, because it would take hundreds of years for us to get there.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen that movie?
You know, even if you could
Passengers.
Which one?
Passengers.
Passengers? I don't think
with,
so.
With Jennifer Lawrence, they're on like they're on a ship like what you're talking about. It's a good movie. Are you pulling a Jim Mars and calling into the show so you don't have to do the dishes? Because I'm hearing dishes in the background where you are too. Unless like the CIA is listening to my call and they're doing dishes.
No, the only noise in the background here is I've got an air freshener. I'm in my basement smoking a cigarette.
All right. Anyways. So, all right, so you don't think they can get here. Well, that's interesting. Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they probably could figure out a way to get here, but who knows? You know.
But I guess my feeling, though, is that, well, so are you familiar with DMT, the spirit molecule, the book?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know that people that have undergone DMT experiences have seen creatures that are very much like the aliens in abduction experiences.
Yeah.
You know, even
so you
Whitley
think
Strieber,
it's like a mental... No, I mean, I agree that the abduction thing is super flimsy. I don't think really, like... I think like 90% of the quote-unquote abductions are not really abductions.
Well,
like,
you know,
think,
plus...
You know, in the classic sense.
Well, people like Bud Hopkins and whatnot have used, like, hypnosis to regress people, and that's
right,
turned out
right,
to be, psychologically
right.
speaking... BS that doesn't work. You're in fact planting false memories in people by doing that. This is what's happening.
Right, exactly. So it's like there's very, you have to throw out like the whole history of abduction research in a sense, because it doesn't make any sense. You know, it's very questionable now, and you know, and there's no one really. The abduction field is fascinating because it's like it kind of died when the two main guys died and the other one got engulfed in scandal. So there's really no one to carry the torch anymore.
But going back, you know, Jacques Vallée talked about, you know, that, well, actually Kiel got there first, but pointing out that, that these abductions were very much like people being captured by fairies, you know, back hundreds of years ago. You
right,
know, stories
right.
are very similar, missing time or warp time, and, you know, and the creatures are not too dissimilar physically, you know, described, that you got to wonder that there's some psychological component to this.
Yeah, I think there is. I think there is. But what to what degree, you know, those are the answers we're all searching for, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, my best guess, and this is, you know, obviously purely speculative, but I think that, you know, in Europe, there are a lot of places where they seem to, you've heard of ley lines, and you probably heard that they, you know, they built all these structures on ley lines, and supposedly they're megalithic structures that can tune the flow of these, of basically what it is the electromagnetic energy of the Earth. It's possible that there are certain places where there's like a resonance that can affect your brain. That's kind of my theory, is that there are certain spots that resonate a certain frequency and that it will trip something in your brain to make you experience something. That's my best guess as to what might be going on.
It's entirely possible, you know. It's entirely possible. The question is, are we ever going to find out? You know what I mean? Is it even knowable? Can we figure
it
out?
Yeah, I don't know. How do you define? Yeah, how do you set up a scientific experiment to confirm or deny that? That's, I mean, because ultimately, if something is not falsifiable, it's not science.
Something, right.
You know,
right.
A proposition has to be falsifiable to be within the purview of science, I guess, is where I'm coming from.
Yeah, fuck science, dude. They turn their back on all the weird shit.
Well, you know,
I appreciate science and all that. I know people are going to, like, you know, poor Tyler Cokejohn's going to be like, no! But, yeah, you know, to me it's like, I like science and all, but, you know, it seems pretty impotent if it can't solve any of these mysteries, you know, definitively.
Well, science is the methodology, right? I mean, you know, and it's only as good as the people that practice it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
we have,
true.
And we have these social institutions that are, you know, are based around inertia and slow to change. And, you know, there are all kinds of things like the whole peopling of the Americas, you know, the Bering Strait and all that stuff. You know, now they're finding, you know, older and older, I should say, evidence of humans being in the Americas prior to, like, the Clovis. And, you know, for a long time it was like the Clovis first theory, and you know, and so it has been a very slow process to get the world of anthropology or whatever it is to start examining the new evidence and seeing that, oh, well, actually we know more now, and then we might have to expand our investigation some and look at other possibilities.
Yeah, well, let's get their act together.
I mean, you know, I mean, there are hundreds of examples of this, right? I mean, you know, even you go back to, like, the Copernican theory of the sun being in the center of the solar system, you know, that was totally against religion and everything else at the time, and, you know, eventually it won out, but it took a long, long time, and mostly a lot of stubborn people had to die off, really, for that to take hold.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, I think I'll probably just wrap it up here. No offense to you, Jim. I'm just running out of energy.
that's cool. I didn't really have a hell of a lot more to say anyway. But
yeah, and I kind of was worried that I was like, there's a part of me that was like, this poor guy didn't want to fucking come on and be like a half hour long guest on this show. Like, he's just trying to call in and chat, and now I'm just like the lonely dude, like, at 9:30, that's like, so what else is new in your life, man? So
I can tell you about my dog.
What's that? What'd you say?
No, I was just joking. I said I could tell you about my dog, but, you know, no. I'm actually relieved.
It was a good show, but then they started talking about that guy's dog. I don't know what the fuck Manal's doing. He's going crazy. So I appreciate the call, Jim, and I see you all the time on Facebook, so I know who you are. Thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for listening, and have a good night.
All right, you too, man. Night.
Good night. There you go. That was Jim Lydica, and also Steven called in earlier, and I guess we'll put one last call out for anyone who wants to call into the show. Where's the number? 646-378-1868, unless anyone interrupts my wrap-up here. But as I noted to Steven earlier, you know, now I'm hearing noises in the background. Maybe this is at my house. This is very weird. Very strange. No one else is on the line. Very odd. Huh. Anyway, that's freaking me out. But I'm the only one here. How is that possible? So as I was saying to Steven earlier, we are... That is really weird. I wonder where that's coming from. I'm going to look around here while I'm on the air and see if there's actually people funking around with dishes. No, this place is dead quiet. That's weird. Anyway, so that is odd. All right, yeah, so as I was saying to Steven, I know a lot of people might be hearing this and they're like, you know, Abinall's going to be, he's going to disappear for a while. No, we got a killer show already planned for next Tuesday night. Our old friend Gian Kassar will be back on the program to talk about the East Area Rapist, or the original Night Stalker, as he's called. And it's this terrifying serial predator that... tormented California for years in the 70s and was never caught, and it's become a really hot true crime story right now. And it was just on 48 Hours like about a week ago, and Gian, for the longtime listeners, they know how intense Gian is as a researcher. He has just absolutely dug so deep into this case, it's like unbelievable. He has just dug up so much information, and he has attacked this thing. And he's going to be on to talk about it. We're also going to have somebody who was affected by the ears. It's a funny thing. We'll talk about it with Gian. But this part of the reason why this crazy serial predator hasn't gotten the attention he deserves. I don't know if that's even the right way to put it, but the attention from people to try and get on this case is because he has no catchy name. He has just a kind of a crappy acronym name, and so he kind of like never took hold until the last few years. But it's, the original Night Stalker is kind of what some people call him, or the East Area Rapist, and this guy is a bad, bad dude. And Gian Kassar is hot on the trail of this dude, and he's trying to figure out who he was. And he seems pretty confident that he's going to get to the bottom of it. So that'll be interesting. And we'll also discuss, since it's been forever since we had him on, you know, the latest developments with the Bermuda Triangle, Jack the Ripper, his thoughts on Bigfoot. He's covered a whole bunch of different stuff and really covered it tremendously well. So... we're going to dig into all that with him next week, May 9th at 10 p.m. We're going to go on later in the evening next week. May 9th at 10 p.m. I have no idea what the sounds in the background are. So, but I will not say that they are ghosts or anything. I'm sure it's some kind of weird technological interference or something, but it is annoying me. But... who knows? I'm working on upgrading the technology. Whether it'll happen in season 10 remains to be seen, but I'm hoping to eventually ditch the phone. But I just love it so much. Anyway, I guess that's it. I can't keep talking because I'm getting tired. So, the people in the chat room are trying to decipher these sounds. It's very weird. Well, I apologize to people who are listening who are like, oh, so annoying, because I'm kind of annoyed by it. So I don't know. It seems to have stopped now. But, nope, there it goes again. Who are you? Hang up the phone. Now I feel weird, like we're listening to someone's conversation. So, so we'll wrap it up here. Thank you so much, folks, for tuning in, and you know, thank you to the folks in the chat room. Thank you to Jim and Steven who called in. Yeah, next week tune in to Banal of America for another edition of the program. I'm like really confused by what's going on here with these sounds. I gotta be all unraveled for a while on this one. Yeah, Gian Casar next week, May 9th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us then, and it's going to be a fun conversation. It's going to be a really creepy one, so it's going to be really – I shouldn't have even said it's going to be fun, because it's really not. It's going to be creepy, and it's going to be like, oh my God. That's going to – that's probably your – that's how you're going to be feeling after that one. You're going to be like, oh, Jesus. So you have that to look forward to next week. And, you know, thank you to all the people who've been sending me nice things about this being the final season. Just relax. I'm not dying. I'm not going anywhere. It's just – you know, we got to tie up some loose ends here so we can kind of tighten up the ship a little bit. And the seasonal format is just kind of a nightmare. So it's time to sort of close the book on that chapter of what we're doing at Banal of America and open a whole new chapter. And that's going to be really exciting, too. So, and this is going to be an amazing season because it's going to be – we're going to sort of like put a bow on a lot of these conversations we've had with people over the years. Like we had here with Jim. So eventually, you know, this whole thing will be kind of like a neat standalone thing. So stay tuned to Banal of America Audio, Season 10. It's going to be an adventure. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Until next week, this is Tim Banal, signing off.